Welcome to Common Salvation, the sermons and other thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached on December 24th, Christmas Eve night, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby, Kansas, and also at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hoxie. The text was Luke 2, the Christmas story. Let's listen in now.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. No place in the inn. It's one of the central parts of the Christmas story, and no doubt in one way it is simply a detail of what happened during this event of history. The instructions that each person were to go back to their hometown for this census had made for a very crowded Bethlehem. Any extra room in the whole city was already filled up. But that same phrase, no place in the inn, could also be said to sort of hint at something that the rest of the scriptures tell us was also true at the time of Jesus' arrival. John puts it in his gospel this way: he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Yes, he came among humanity. Humanity which had been created through him, and yet they would not take him in. What was true of the rooms of Bethlehem was also true of the hearts of many who were in that city and in that region at that time. Their hearts were already full, and hence there was no room for Jesus. Now, there were some in Jesus' day who would not accept him because, at least to their eyes, he was a challenge to their power. King Herod, we know, certainly thought this way. And soon, the religious leaders of the Jews, they would also share this fear. Yes, this tiny little baby had the power brokers in that region afraid. They were shaking at the first announcement of his arrival. We might say that his whimpering cries brought terror into their hearts. What would it mean for them, they thought, if they actually had to answer to another? What would become of their plans and their aspirations to which they were actively aiming? Would they be exposed if they did not carry around all that power with them? And yes, these people, they still exist in our world as well. The elite people of our world cannot imagine that there could be one that would actually demand all of theirs attention, one to whom they should all subject themselves. Yes, indeed, whether they're world leaders or whether they're economic powerhouses, they only know how to lead and not to follow. In fact, the whole idea of following is rather unsettling to them. And yes, we must admit there are still religious leaders who fear Jesus' arrival as well, fearing that their power might be taken away. These are those who love to hear the adulation of others and don't really want to share the spotlight with Jesus. They want people to talk about their church instead of talking about Jesus' church. At times, these people would even dare to tell Jesus what he was all really about, rather than simply listening long enough to have Jesus in the scriptures explain what he was all about. Yes, people that fear the loss of power and authority and will, indeed, at Jesus' arrival, they still exist. In fact, at times, you and I are such people. Isn't it true that we would rather call Jesus Savior than call him Lord? Even though that latter phrase is all over the scriptures. But to us, at times, that phrase, the Lord, seems a little constraining. Even though in our lives, many times, there's much evidence that our own choices are misguided, but yet we still don't want to yield simply to what Jesus in his word says. We might have marriage troubles, But we cannot thought even go to thinking about embracing the roles of husband and wife that we find in the scriptures. We might be filled with worry about the future and what that means financially, but yet we can't stand to just think that maybe we could just seek the kingdom of God and trust that God was going to provide all the things we need each day. That seems so simple, so naive. Yes, our favorite cultural lies indeed are those that complicate our lives immeasurably. People talk about it all the time, about how busy we are and how confused we are in so many ways. And yet we think it would be even more dangerous simply to walk in the truths of Jesus. And in that way, sometimes we tell Jesus too that we will lead rather than follow. Of course, at the time of Jesus' life, there were also those who would not receive him because their hearts were full of all sorts of sinful desires that were longing to be fulfilled. And so they could not receive the Holy One who came from on high. They couldn't believe that anyone would be so bold as to demand total allegiance to him. They much preferred to sort of take all the religions that were there in the area and mix them together into something that worked for them. There were those who could not let their hearts be cleansed of greed even for a moment, because they were so afraid if they stopped thinking about wealth for one moment, they might miss out on something really great. Their lustful hearts were filled with so many visions of past acts and ones, quite frankly, they hoped soon to do. And because of this, there was no room for Jesus. Their wanting to have unbounded freedom, to do whatever made them happy, that is what filled their heart. And so there was no room. And no doubt, those in our world are still ruled by sinful desires. Indeed, they still exist all over the place. There are those who will hear nothing of Jesus because they want to be free to do whatever they want. They want to be able to chase after what comes most natural to them. Our young people often decide that the idea of leading a sexually pure life until marriage is something they can't even consider. They think it is so naive. And the desire in so many to be liked means that it's not at all uncommon that people would make up a few lies about themselves in order that people might like them a little bit better. Yes, people with hearts full of sinful desires, they still exist because they can be you and me again. We too have times where those sinful desires come and fill up our hearts again. So tonight, consider, what are the things that fill up your heart? Does being careless with the name of God bring you joy around your friends? Do you think that kind of crass use of language is sort of the variety of life that brings a little fun into things? Do you love sleep or leisure or sports or work so much that gathering with God's people has become rather optional, even though all those other things must be done? Or are your thoughts consumed, not with the things God has given you, but with all the things you don't have yet? Are you convinced that those things are the things that will finally make you happy? You know, when you think about it, it might just seem in general like there's no place for Jesus in our world. Indeed, we don't have too many people that would say they're looking for a Lord that they would submit to out of reverence and humility. And quite frankly, less and less we have people that are looking for a Savior either, because quite frankly, they think their favorite sin is the best thing they have in life. Yes, in our world, no room in the inn, no room in the heart, no room for Jesus. And yes, if we are honest this evening, we have to admit that at times the same might be said of us as well. Our hearts get crowded by all sorts of things that never should be given space in our hearts, since we do know Jesus, his love, and his ways. But yet we sometimes mourn the thought of how many things would have to be removed from our hearts in order that he might come and dwell there with all of his truth. Yes, at times for us too, no room in the inn, no room in our hearts, no room for Jesus. But you know what happened in Bethlehem? God disregarded the fact that so many things seemed unready for Christ's arrival, that so many hearts were not ready to receive Jesus. And he sent him anyways. Yes, he indeed could work in so many ways, and so he did. He could use a young virgin girl named Mary, since perhaps a girl with a little more clout would have never yielded as easily and said, "Be it unto me as you have said." He could use a manger if there were no rooms with beds that were left in town. And if no one else would come and laud his birth, well, then he could call some simple shepherds away from their work in the field to come and sing his praises. And why? Well, because the world, though they were not ready for Jesus, needed him desperately. They needed good news in place of all the bad. They needed joy instead of all the despair, their own chosen way of life delivered to them time and time again. They needed a savior from the things that they did not even know were all that dangerous. They needed peace to reign in order that all discord might be driven out. And so even though they were not ready to receive him, he was given anyways. There lying in the manger, there in those swaddling cloths, there so tiny and small. In the church, we spent a whole season getting ready for this season. But truth be told, even those of you that have participated in that, you're not perfectly ready, are you, for Jesus to come? Not to worry. Today the Father sends his own Son to you anyways. There lying in the manger, there in those swaddling cloths, there so tiny and small. And not only there, but here tonight as well. Here in his word. Here as we go to him in prayer. Here as he comes to us dwelling in the bread and the wine. The good news that perhaps you've been having trouble taking to heart lately, it is proclaimed to you again this night. The joy that is needed to drive out worry and anxiety and despair, it is present now. The Savior who comes to remove every last sin from you that you might live with him forever, he has now arrived. Rejoice. Though there was no place for him, even in your heart, he now comes. And he finds a resting place right in your heart this very night. A Savior is born for you in Bethlehem this night. And yes, he comes to you right here in this place as well. A child is born for you. So rejoice. Amen.